Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I have Ted Rubin with me, and this is a little bit of a trailer for what's to come. I think we're going to have a mini Ted and Kelly show coming up, but you're going to enjoy this chat. I met Ted Rubin years ago through social media and business acquaintances, and he's just an absolute amazing human being. From a business perspective, from a personal perspective, certainly from a health perspective. We are going to link to his extensive bio on fitfluentialradio.com. But he is, let me just give you a few clips from his bio, and then I'll tell you, I'll wrap it up with just a preview of what you're going to hear in the show and what's coming up after that. Ted Rubin, a leading social marketing strategist, keynote speaker, acting CMO of Brand Innovators, co-founder of the recently launched Prevailing Path. In March 2009, Ted started using and evangelizing the term ROR. So not ROI, ROR. Return on Relationship. Hashtag R-O-N-R. Ted's known for his hashtags as well, and I won't tell you what it is, but he talks about his latest hashtag on the show. But the reason that I asked Ted on the show was not necessarily because of his extensive business experience, and he's a highly intelligent creature, an amazing dresser. I do address that in the show as well. But every time I've run into Ted, I'm amazed by his energy. I'm amazed by how in shape he is, and how he's just made it a part of his lifestyle. And we share in the show, he is about to turn 60 at the end of this year. And he, to me, is just an example of what Fitfluential is. He is fitting in fitness into a busy lifestyle. He's all about no excuses. He's got an amazing story. He's open to changing his health approach, his fitness approach. But seriously, I mean, this is what, and I'm using air quotes over here, aging is all about. It's not something to be dreaded. I've shared this with all of you listeners for a while. I'm 48, and thanks to the fact that I'm really getting in tune with my body and I have the right individuals advising me, my doctor, my trainer, my other trainer, who's my business partner, my body and my health is better than it's ever been before. And I wouldn't trade age 48 for age 30 in a heartbeat. So I encourage all of you that are listening, both on the male and the female side, to tune in. This is going to be the first of a several part series I plan to do with Ted. And we're going to get together when we're in Florida and shoot some video. But tune in, because you are going to hear his energy. You're going to hear his tips. This is not about a specific workout program. It's about how to make fitness life. Tune in. Let us know what you think at fitfluentialradio.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I have the hugest grin on my face today. And I always have a grin on my face, but this one is particularly significant because today on the show, we have Ted Rubin. And Ted is someone I met, and I'm probably going to put you on the spot in a second, Ted, and ask if you remember where we met. But I met him when I first started getting involved in social media, when all the cool cats like us were, you know, getting on Twitter way back in the early days. But I think he's one of the coolest cats around. When you go to the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com and you see his pictures, there's just nothing uncool about Ted Rubin. He's one of the best dressers I've ever seen as far as men and fashion. He's incredibly fit. he's just a sexy man beast. And that's one of the reasons that I've wanted to have him on the show, because he can teach a lot of men listening how to dress, how to treat women, how to be healthy, and how to just be fantastic. So Ted, I am super excited to have you on the show, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you remember when we met? Was it at South By, or was it at Blog Her?
Nope.
Or do you even remember? I don't. I have to be honest.
I know exactly. We were introduced first via Twitter by Danielle Liss. And that was in June of 2011. And then we first met face-to-face that year at Useful Social Media Summit.
Where was that?
I believe it was in New York. And I attended it with the Web Trends team.
Okay.
But believe it or not, I keep notes on these kinds of things.
Oh, God. Do you have notes about me?
Kelly only notes about you. There's no one else knows about. And I have to tell you that after that introduction, I really just want to end this podcast right now, because I can't imagine that it can go anywhere but down after the way you just elevated me in the eyes of your audience. So I wasn't nervous. You were giving me all the instructions before, and I'm like, Kelly, come on, let's get on with it. I've done this before. Now I'm sitting here and I'm like shaking, because I have this introduction to live up to.
You will totally live up to it. I have no doubt. But the truth is,
luckily nobody can see that I'm sitting here in my underwear. So
I'm certain that it's very fashionable underwear, and you probably have a tie on. You know, and for everybody, we're going to make sure that we get, you know, these great photos. You sent over some great photos, but, you know, truly, Ted's just a great guy. Extremely. You heard some information about him in the bio. He's incredibly business savvy, excuse me, very intelligent, great sense of humor. I love his accent. You know, he doesn't live in New York anymore. He's down in Florida, but I love his accent, and just a great guy overall. But truth be told, every single time we would be at a social media conference or an advertising or PR or blogger conference, I always looked forward to seeing Ted, because he would always have the most mantastic, fashionable outfit on. And you really, that's why I knew I wanted you on the show, because you've always been so in shape, so dedicated to fitness, and then you dress well, and you're just like, okay, here's the deal. More guys need to pay attention to him. And ladies, I asked him as well before the show if he'd let me share his age. This is what 60 should always look like. So he's 60 years old, and he is fine. I'm just putting that out there. So that was F-I-N-E, fine, said with my flair. And I think that said, that's a perfect segue for us to start diving right into our fifth lunchful conversation, which is why I asked you to be on the show. I want to have a lot of real people that are living really busy, crazy lives. And you, of all people, know, Ted, you're crazy busy. You have multiple businesses that you're involved in. You're a speaker. You travel a lot. You've got, I believe, two beautiful girls, or is it three?
Two.
Two daughters that you love very much. We'll talk about them in this show later. But, you know, we always hear a lot about people making excuses for why they can't get fit, why they can't get healthy, why they can't lose weight. And I particularly love the idea of, number one, having folks on the show that I know are in that crazy corporate space, right? And they're traveling, they've got crazy, unpredictable hours, but they're fitting fitness in, they've found their fitness, they know what works. And secondly, age. Age is just a number. I'm 48, Ted is 60, he looks amazing. I feel like I'm getting in the best shape of my life. I've never felt better at 48. I wouldn't trade 48 for 30 in a heartbeat. But this is why I wanted you to come on the show. So Ted, I've given you this huge drumroll segue intro. Tell people that are listening, you know, you're very fit and you look great now. Have you always had this focus about being healthy? And when did that start for you, and why? Was there a big moment, or was it just you've always kind of been more inclined to be healthy and fit, and it's been a part of your life since you were young? What was the case for you?
Well, first, before I jump into that, I'm going to clarify two things. One is I'm 59. I'll be 60 in December. So, you know, I just want to own that a little bit. And then number two, I want to make sure your audience knows the way you talk about me and the way you say how much you always look forward to seeing me at events. That was so Kelly could tease me. That's why she could say, oh my God, it's so great to see you. We're going to have a drink. We're going to go out. We're going to do something. And then she would just unceremoniously disappear and always leave me wanting. So I just want to be sure, even to the point where Danielle Liss wanted to do, I don't know if you remember this, Kelly, but Danielle said, you know what we should do? We should start this whole Twitter movement that you guys are getting married.
Oh, and, I do remember that.
But that would have been perfect because Kelly would have been, what's the movie with, you know, with the Runaway Bride? That would have been Kelly all the way, because she's the one. She's the runaway. Let's get a cocktail, or the runaway. Let's have dinner. So I just want to be clear about that. My heart is still open for Kelly, but I long ago changed my expectations. So now that I got all that clear, I'll jump into what you were talking about. So first of all, as your audience now knows, I'm 59, and what that means, if any of you are at this age, or even are in your 30s or 40s or whatever, you know that there are different points of your life. So there are different times when different things are important and things change. No matter how fit you are, no matter how much it was important to you at one time, as you age, and that doesn't mean as you get older, you get more concerned. Some people actually let it go. But for me, I'm very, very lucky. I've always been relatively what you would call a thin person. Like, weight has never been an issue for me. Like a lot of people like me, I can make weight an issue because I can be as obsessive about it as the next guy, where even though I'm always in good shape, I don't like when I get a little heavier, and I always want to be a little lighter. And then people say, oh no, I like the way you look when you're heavier. And I'm like, oh, you just like that I look better that way because it makes you feel better about being heavier. More or less, I've been fit my whole life. I was an athlete when I was younger. I was actually the sport that was my biggest sport was wrestling, where weight is a very important part of what you do. And most wrestlers pull weight and have to get down to have to trim themselves down so that they'll be more competitive at a lighter weight. And because of that, number one is my coach. Who was my junior high and my high school coach, and I was captain of the team my senior year, he's had a major impact on my life to the point of, I think you mentioned I'm going back on the road tomorrow. It's my coach who I'm visiting and his wife, who I see at least once a year, very often twice. He retired, moved from New York to the mountains outside Phoenix in a town called Pine. And him and his wife are like my second parents. And there's two things I say about that now is, number one is both my parents are gone, so they've kind of become my primary parents. But even better, they're my parents, but they're not my parents. And I'll tell you exactly what that means, and you guys will all nod your heads. It means that I'm not critical of them, and they're not critical of me. So when I'm with them, imagine being with your parents, and you don't once have to say, Ma, what are you doing? And your mom doesn't have to look at you and say, I can't believe you're going in that direction. It's really a mistake. You just hang out and you get mothered and you get taken care of and spoiled, and you're off, and everything they're doing you think is amazing because they're not your parents and you're not embarrassing you. So, but because that guy was such a big influence on my life, he was a health teacher. He was, fitness was always a big thing. And there's a couple of things with that I've taken with me my whole life. And I've written about all of these things in my blog, on posts that I put on social, whenever I visit him, is that my coach used to tell us that if you'd always walk stairs and you walk them two at a time for the rest of your life, you'll always be in shape. And it's something that I've really taken to heart. And people that know me, my business partner, John Andrews, makes fun all the time. He goes, oh, I'm with Ted, we're taking the stairs. Because I take stairs. And I look at people who complain about not having time to work out. And I've always been a guy that fits in workouts in a lot of different ways. I'll park my car farther from the mall if I know I can't get a workout. Like everything I do, I try to think about how can I make it into a workout, or how can I at least take away the pain of what I'm doing. Like, I don't know, if probably a lot of people in your audience have kids. Maybe you've taken them to places like Disney World. It can be a nightmare, especially when they're little. You're carrying them, you're wheeling the stroller. But what I would do is I'd put on sneakers, shorts, and a t-shirt. I wouldn't go to the gym that morning. And every time we hit a hill, I'd be like, yeah, I'm getting some quad work, and I would think of it like a workout. And then a number of years ago, and it's very funny because this has been a part of my life. Like, I am not a gym rat. I do try to go to the gym and I do workouts and I usually do more than most people and think I accomplish nothing that day because it's just my mindset. But what I do is, like, when I sit down and I do, in the morning, I wake up and I get on my computer, I do push-ups or dips or reverse dips, something every day, and squats in between, sending out emails, doing work, I'll get up. And this again goes back to my coach who used to say, when you go home at night, you shouldn't think that your workout is over. You're going to probably go home and watch a few hours of TV. Every commercial, do 10 push-ups or do 20 push-ups. So this has been a big part of my life. And then a bunch of years ago, I met these two really cool fitness bloggers. I know you know them, Ronnie Noon and Carla Bernberg. And I went, Ronnie used to have an event called, what was it called?
Fit blogging.
And shortly after I met Ronnie at Fit Blogging, they brought me in as a speaker, and I had known Carla, but I got to know her better. They wrote a book. And I love their book to the point that I've adopted it as a mantra, which I do a lot. Be good to people. A lot of people see me use that in a lot of my tweets and on the shirts I wear. It's not, and everyone thinks it's my company. It's not. It's a woman named Chris Wittenberg who started the company, and she knew that I was writing things about just being nice and said, hey, and you'll love this. And I love it because I don't want to sell my own stuff. I don't want to be the guy that's always selling, but I love when I'm promoting somebody else's stuff. So Carla and Ronnie were fitness bloggers, and they got, and this is at least the way I know the story, it might be a little different, but they got a lot of feedback from a lot of their followers that they feel inadequate because, look, Ronnie and Carla are fitness bloggers. It's what they do for a living. They work out every day, but it's really hard for a lot of these moms and a lot of these followers to do that. So they wrote this book called What You Can When You Can. And the hashtag is WYCWYC. And I loved it. And they sent it to me because they knew they'd heard me speak about doing push-ups in between things, parking my car far away to get the walk, doing squats, you know, doing lunges while I walked into some place. Whenever I'm pumping gas, the guy that pulls it next to me thinks I'm nuts because I'm either doing calf raises or I'm doing squats while I'm pumping gas. I do it online in stores. Women look at me like, okay, this guy's a little nuts. And their book was all about that. Their book is all about getting things. I don't remember everything. I read it a while ago, but I take it even further. And they might have as well, that it's not just about working out. It's about touching base with your mother or speaking to your friends, or it goes to the whole no let up lifestyle that I live, and my hashtag no let up, in that you do what you can when you can. And that doesn't mean to be a good friend, you have to call someone every day, or to be a good son, you have to talk to your mother every week. But when you find those moments, you take advantage of them.
Okay. You said so many, and I always feel like I have to say this because microphones on podcasts pick up everything. I'm always taking notes when I'm interviewing somebody because whatever they say, I'm like, oh, I got to ask about that. So love what you said about Carla and Ronnie. I mean, that's such a great approach. And it reminds me, that was why I wrote this down. I've got to schedule Carla for her interview. Carla was one of our first FitFluential ambassadors in the first year, and she's just amazing. But before we go into, because I love how you're essentially fitting in fitness, and I think for this corporate wellness theme that I really want to approach on this podcast, which is, again, just the people that you and I have seen at all these conferences, Ted, you know, that are always making excuses, thinking, oh, I entertain clients a lot, I can't watch my diet, oh, I travel all the time, I can't fit in fitness, you know, I'm too tired, I don't have time, I didn't pack my workout clothes.
By the way, I'm cutting you off for a second. We are going to bust that freaking myth. When I get to talk the next time about not being able to eat or any of that kind of nonsense. So go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
So you'll let me, will you come back on the show? You're already saying yes to my stalking that was about to commence the second we got off the show?
Oh.
Just say yes.
Yes. Kelly, your stalking is what I live for, because then I can have that fantasy of possibly one day getting together with Kelly, but when it never happens, it's okay because then I'm never let down.
Here's the prediction, and this is, I'm just letting our production studio know you're not to edit this out, but I'm just going to put this out there because, Ted, now I know where you live. You know what I was talking about, that with me being down in Florida every month, here's the deal. Ted Rubin and Kelly Alexa will do a Facebook Live together and record a podcast before the end of 2017. I just put it out there.
And Kelly, I live a quarter mile from the beach, so we could even do that Facebook Live on the beach.
And as good as I'm feeling about how I look, I think that I could do that. You, I know, could to do it on the beach right now and be like, you know, like all these women would be flogging us. Me, I'd be like, can we airbrush this or that? Or, you know, I'd have to like maybe stand behind you. But
Kelly,
yeah,
just
by the
remember,
time
I'm approaching 60. It ain't what it used to be. although I'm actually, just like you said, I'm actually fitter than I've probably ever been. And a lot of that has to do with the way I'm eating now, which has drastically changed and goes against the myth that you can't travel and eat healthy, because that's a bunch of crap, or entertain, because I travel probably as much or more than almost anyone, and I entertain as much or more, and I have been a vegan for the last year.
I didn't know that.
Well, I haven't announced it. You know, you have to really follow me, because I'll make comments here or there, or I might post something from a restaurant, but I haven't really made it part of my brand yet, because it's more a part of my brand is that I'm experimenting, in that I always, you know, I can wait, or I can tell you now why I became vegan, and it has a lot to do with some of your earlier questions or the things we talked
about. Let's flow. Just go with it. Tell us why.
Well, you know, we were talking about health and all these things and how things have evolved and things change. And over time, like a lot of us, I think I've improved my eating. You know, we all learn more about what's healthy and what's not. And little by little, we felt like, you know, I should be doing more of this and less of that. I should be eating less red meat. I should be eating more, you know, other healthy things. I should be eating more vegetables. Maybe dairy isn't the best thing for me. And for me, it was just like that kind of evolution. Like over time, just like everybody, I started eating better and I started cutting out some sugar. But what happened in like the last year is, first of all, I mentioned my coach earlier, and about 6 years ago, my coach is 75. And when we're done, I will send you the photo of him and I working out on last year's trip. Every day we work out.
Awesome.
He makes me work. I work out with him and he loves it because he can be like coach again. And his
can
wife
he be on the show?
I don't know. Maybe he would. I'll ask him. He's never done something like this, but he'd probably like to do it. And he was in great shape. He was a wrestling coach. He was a health teacher. He was eating organic before you and I knew what it was. He retired. He moved out to Pine, which is a town in the mountains outside of Phoenix. And at 69, he was running a search and rescue squad in the mountains of Pine, Arizona. And he was, that's the kind of shape he was in. He was the safety officer. He'd do rappelling and all. He'd go out in the middle of the night to rescue people. And he collapses in his driveway one day and needs a quadruple bypass. Mm-hmm. And he finds out, number one, is he has a genetic predisposition to clogged arteries. But more importantly, he discovered that his whole life and what he believed what was healthy eating wasn't. And he's in the hospital, and they finished the quadruple bypass, and the doctor comes to see him a few days later to let him go. And he says, Ira, I know it was really painful because you have more muscle than fat, and muscle's harder to cut through, but you're healing incredibly quickly because you're in such good shape. I'm going to be releasing you the end of the week, and I'll see you again for your next bypass in 10 years. And my coach looks at him and says, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm not coming back. And he goes, well, and he starts quoting him averages. He goes, listen, doc, you know, the minute this happened, my coach is a researcher. I started reading. He goes, and I am changing everything. I'm becoming a vegan, all this stuff. And over the last 6 years, he has been a vegan. And he's back at his college wrestling weight. He's in incredible shape. And every time I visit them, and I visit them every year, I would eat with them. And they're really nice. My coach's wife, Roz, would say, Ted, let me get you some meat. Like, we're not anti what you want to do. And I'm like, no, this is great. It's like I'm cleansing. And every time I eat them, and every time I'd leave, they'd get me a little bit. Like I started drinking almond milk instead of regular milk. A couple of years ago, I really, other than if I was at your house and you served it, I stopped buying cheese. I stopped ordering it in places, you know, and I took on little things. But every time I left and she said, look, you love this so much. Why don't you do it? I said, because it's just the same thing you're talking about. It's too hard. I travel. I don't know how to do this. You know, if you want to come and travel with me and live with me and cook for me, I'll do it. And of course she'd laugh and I wouldn't do it. And then about a year and a half ago, my college roommate, who's one of my best buddies, has terrible heart disease. He needs a heart transplant. He's 61 years old. He's got 30% heart function. He will never get approved for a heart transplant. And I'm sitting here trying to tell him what he should be doing better. And I start thinking, why aren't I setting an example? And then I go visit my coach, and I talk, it was last year this time, and we started talking about, like, he started watching my videos from work, and he goes, you know, it's funny. I listen to you talk about marketing and social marketing and business, and you're telling everybody that they should try new things and experiment and just jump in, but so why won't you do it with the way you eat? And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do this for a year. I'm going to commit to a year. And I'm going to see how it changes things, how it changes my health, how it changes my medical results. And I have to tell you, Kelly, it's been unbelievable. I mean, the results have been literally, now I've always been a healthy guy and I've always been in shape and I weigh myself every day. And that's a remnant from being a wrestler. We're obsessed with weight. And for the last 30 years, I weigh myself every day. And for the last 10, 20, 30 years, I've basically been between 160 and 170. And when I get up around 170, I'm getting a little heavy. And I think once in my whole life, I went above that. And then I would work out a little harder and eat a little better. And I'd make my way down to like the low 160s. Every once in a while, I'd hit 160 or 159. And literally within months of me going vegan, I am now 155 pounds. Whenever I'm hungry, my medical results, again, I'm in good health, but I'm 59. You know, your cholesterol starts making its way up and you've got other things I won't go into that nobody needs to hear about. But, you know, you're a guy. You have, you know, things with, just all these different tests. You know, we all know we get them. And I didn't tell my doctors what I was doing. I didn't want to give them a mindset of automatically saying, oh, wow, you look great. Because they don't normally say that. I didn't want them to think it was about that. And my urologist, my internist, they're both like, you know, what are you doing different? Like, all your numbers have reversed. Like, instead of your cholesterol inching up, it's dramatically dropped. Instead of your prostate numbers going the way, one way, they've gone completely the other. When I was 52, my doctor discovered that I'm missing a heart valve. It's called a bicuspid aortic heart valve. You're supposed to have three flaps, and I only have two flaps. I'm missing a flap. And they've never changed that, but they test me now every year because it can put pressure on your aorta. And fortunately, everything's been good. But all of a sudden, the numbers have gone the other way. It's more open. It's they've never changed any of my behavior. They've never told me to change any of my working out or anything I do. But now it's literally he's looking at me going, like, how did this go the other way? It never does. Well, that's because none of your patients, because doctors don't have a freaking clue about nutrition. They don't even know what being a vegan means. They think it's a vegetarian. They're like, well, you eat eggs, right? No. Well, you eat dairy. No. And then they're even dumb enough because they're so poorly educated on nutrition that they'll say, well, how do you get enough protein? And, you know, people that aren't vegans think like, oh, my God, you're a vegan. There's so much protein in everything you eat. If you eat green vegetables, if you eat nuts, if you eat beans, that you get plenty of protein. Matter of fact, most people that are meat eaters get way, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they get way more protein than they need. But what's amazing to me is that doctors don't know this. So for me, it's been this gradual process. And then all of a sudden now I've made this leap. Now, I'm not obsessive. If I get invited to someone's house and I make do, I don't warn them before I come that I'm vegan because I don't want to make them uncomfortable or put them on the spot. You know, if I end up in a place that is absolutely nothing for me to eat, which is rare, I'll order a piece of fish or something just because, again, I don't want to make the people around me feel uncomfortable. And if someone, like if a waitress comes running out of the kitchen and goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize the vegetable soup has cream in it, or I'm like, take a breath, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to
thank. I just have to point out, like, I love that you are not, and it doesn't happen with just vegans or vegetarians, but you're not a douchebag because those are the types of people or elitists, as I call them, that right. I don't want on the show. I don't want to give props to because I promote different strokes for different folks. And I think that we all need to find what works for us. And I love for you, you know, you had a certain lifestyle that worked for you before. This is what you've evolved into. We all are going to find evolutions. I don't like it when people are, you know, paleo is the only way. vegetarian's the only way. This
well,
is the only way.
Well, the worst part is when they preach to you. The funny thing is I'll be with people and they go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm ordering meat. I'm like, enjoy yourself. First of all, I don't even miss it. Like, by the way, that amazes me. I thought that I would miss it like crazy. And I mean, I literally can walk into a barbecue joint and smell it and enjoy it and not eat it and not even feel bad that I'm not. I mean, I was in Austin around South By and, you know, John, of course, had to have barbecue. It doesn't matter. And I don't preach to other people. I mean, the only people I'll preach to is if I'm with somebody who starts bitching and moaning about their weight or their health.
Yes.
While they're stuffing a double cheese-filled cheeseburger in their mouth. Oh, I just don't know why I can't lose any weight. Or the only other guy I give a hard time, like I have a buddy who I went to sleepaway camp with. I've known him since we were 11. And he's a freaking diabetic. He takes shots and he's sitting next to me eating a fucking cheeseburger. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? He goes, well, it's no big deal. I just take a shot. Okay.
Yeah, that's, do you not think, I mean, that's something you don't see. It permeates, I believe, our culture, especially in the United States, is this, just take a pill for it. That's right. Why people can go and found a company and get funding for some kind of pill, and they'll put millions of dollars of ad spend behind an infomercial that's like, you can drink beer, you don't have to change anything, you don't have to work out, and you can lose 30 pounds in a month.
Right.
Seriously?
I can eat all the fatty shit I want. I'm taking a statin. Or, I mean, my doctor knows, you know, I'm in Florida and I've been keeping my internist in New York. You want to know why? Because it took me 10 years to train him to not hand me a fucking pill. Like, he now looks at me, he'll go, okay, I know you don't like medication. You know, so let's, you know, because I mean, I watched my parents live the pharmaceutical nation life. And then my mother had so many issues because she was taking so many freaking pills and every doctor doesn't even pay attention to what the other ones are prescribing. I mean, it's insane. So yeah, that gets me a little crazy, but I have no issue with someone that, again, don't complain. Just look, it's like the person. Like, I have a real issue with Gary Vaynerchuk's thing that everybody has to work harder and just because you're 60 or 70 or 80 doesn't mean you're done, because he takes it too far. I agree with him that the mindset should be if you want to do something, you're not done. But there's nothing wrong with sitting on the beach for the next 20 years if that's what you worked your whole life to achieve.
I agree with you.
Like you said. If someone's sitting at home whining and complaining that Social Security doesn't cover what they need, well, then get off your ass and work. There is a different story. Then I'm willing to open my mouth. But if someone says to me, you know, hey, man, I taught for the last 30 years and I'm retired and I'm just enjoying life. And for me, enjoying life means taking a walk and going to the beach and taking my trip once a year. God bless, man. You know, like I say to people, everyone says you're not achieving, you're not learning, you're not growing if you're not living outside your comfort zone. For God's sake, Kelly, I've been spending 60 fucking years trying to find my comfort zone.
That's a good way of looking at it. But you know what? I do agree with you. And Gary's a friend of mine and I had him on the show. But one of the things, you know, when I observe about him, and this is more of like, I care about him as a person, but I see, you know, if he's posting, it'll be, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and then 6 o'clock in the morning and he's getting on a flight. And I just think, as somebody for me, you know, and I'm guessing, I think I'm like 5 or 6 years older than him, you know, that kind of lifestyle, for without question, begins to take a toll on you.
Now, and look at him. You can see it's taking a toll, but here's the other side. That's fine with me because it's what Gary loves and what Gary wants. So Gary should be doing that. What bothers me is from his position of power and influence, he tells people that they're not achieving if they're not doing it this way. Now, I love a big part of his message. So don't get me wrong. I love Gary. He's a friend too. I agree. But I also think that, like, he also preaches this whole self-awareness thing, and my self-awareness is be self-aware of the way you affect others and when you do something, how it affects someone else. When you stop walking in the middle of a freaking airport and just put your shit down and everybody's falling over it. But Gary's self-awareness is that you should only do what you're good at, and I have a problem with that. I have a problem with, and this is for your audience too, and this goes back to what you said. Different things work for different people, and I love that you said that. Like, you know, vegan is working for me, it might not work for someone else. I'm the last guy to say, hey, you should be doing this, because I do it. But also, you shouldn't tell somebody, hey man, you shouldn't make teaching your life because you're not good at it. Hey, if it's what makes you happy, then that is something you should pursue. His whole mantra is based on making the most money, getting the most things done in every single day. And that isn't success for everybody.
You brought up such a great point, because, and I'm going to pull together several of the things that you said recently, because, you know, you're talking about how in your life, a lot of what you want to do is taking time now to smell the roses, stopping, probably having more time with your daughters, enjoying Florida. You moved from New York to Florida. This is a big part of what, I mean, I had, and I shared with you, Ted, before we started recording that, you know, last year, 2016, was by far across the board the worst year of my life in literally every single category. It was like this perfect storm of, you know, God giving to me this just chaotic tsunami of everything going wrong, every conceivable worst nightmare happening. And to me, I look at it as God was like, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a gift. You're either going to let this run you over, or you're going to learn from it and create a completely new and improved version of Kelly Alexa and your business and figure out what really matters. And that is what I chose, is the latter. I don't think I consciously chose it along the way. I just chose to do the right thing. And out of that, I've transformed. And one of the things that I saw is the utter lack of balance, I became aware that I was drifting through my life, not driving where I want to go. I didn't ever decide where I wanted to live. I was living in Chicago for all those years, and I finally woke up in October of 2015, and I'm like, I don't like living here, and I don't have to live here. And that's why I chose to move to Austin, and now I'm looking at building in Florida. And I looked at my business, and I'm like, I founded Fitfluential in April 2011, and I started working from a home office, and I literally worked all the time. I had no social life. You said at the beginning of the show, I would always commit to meeting people, but I had no social life because, you know what? I was always run down. I was always trying to go back and catch up on sleep. I was exhausted. I was running myself ragged, thinking that working more is better. And if better, more is better, then even more better. So work more. And so it's that hustle mentality.
You're not cheating on me. You're just not going out with anybody. Okay.
I feel cheating on you with my pillow, and that sounded inappropriate.
By the way, I dig my pillow too.
But I have come to the point, and as I embrace this of, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And you know what I want my life to look like? A lot more yoga, a lot more time with friends, making time for love and happiness and being by the beach and being able to walk along the ocean. And to me, that's what I want. And so, yeah, I'm driving my business results so that I can have, as you said so eloquently, more time in the comfort zone. But if somebody wants to drive towards, you know, they want to become an author, maybe they suck at writing. If they want to pursue that and that's what gives them joy, guess what? In my opinion, if you increase your joy and you decrease your stress, you're going to improve upon your health. So that's what you do. Do you agree?
So much, because I just want, what we have to do is redefine the word success. Because in this crazy motivated world, and by the way, I'm as subject to it just like you are and everybody else. I mean, every day I do so much in a day, and there's not a day that I end the day going, holy shit, I didn't do enough. Like, oh my God, like how many things am I supposed to do in a freaking day? Like I literally think, oh my God, I wanted to go kayaking, I wanted to get to the gym, but I swam laps. I went for a walk and a run. I did some what you can, when you can in between. I got so much business done, but no matter what, my biggest challenge is I end the day and I feel like I didn't do enough. I'm always feeling that stress. And I think that's because we live in this world where there's so many Garys out there telling everybody that success means becoming the best in your field and achieving and using every single minute. Now, again, I want to step back for a second and say, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. Number one, if it works for you. Number two, if you need something. Like, I'm a total, I agree with Gary 100% that if you need to get things done for your family or you want to start a business, but you also have to earn a living and pay your family's bills and do things, then yes, there are a lot of hours at night. And I've made great use out of them the last 20 years or at least the last 10 since we've had all these tools where work never has to end. The problem is work never ends. The good news is work doesn't have to ever end. The bad news is we can always feel guilty for not getting more done. I mean, I could stay up all night. If I was capable of not sleeping, I could be accomplishing things 24/7 from anywhere, because this is a world where it's the age of influence, where anybody can build a brand, affect change, make a difference 24/7 without ever leaving their bedroom. The problem is you're not leaving your freaking bedroom.
So, I did that for 5 years. Pretty close.
What I want to say is, again, Gary's 100% right for a lot of people who their goal is to do the most, to accomplish the most, to get the most done. It's also right probably for a lot of us at some point of our lives when we're trying to get more done. But for a lot of people, being successful might be getting out of work every day at 4 o'clock and going home and coaching your kid's baseball team, or just going and watching their practice, or just being there when they come home from school. That is success. And that's where my problem comes in, is just that it's become such an overaccomplished world that everybody thinks accomplishments are this small avenue, this small group of things, where accomplishments can be such a wide variety of things. And that accomplishment could be, like I said, just my coach's wife is doing all this reading. Like, my coach, for him, he's a lot more like you and me. You know, he's got to get out. He's got to get his hike in, and he's got to go do things in town, and he's got to help with building the center. And he for years, he volunteered as a coach when people couldn't pay him after he retired. And he wants to work out and get his workout in the day. Her goal is to read a lot more, and a lot of us talk about that, but she's actually doing it. And it's incredible. Like, her wealth of knowledge has just increased greatly. And some people would say, well, if you're not using that knowledge for anything, it's a waste. Bullshit. If it gives you pleasure, if you feel good about it, then you've achieved.
So true. And
I'm trying to convince myself. So, because I suffer from the same thing we all do. And that's why I said I get really upset when people say you have to get outside your comfort zone. And by the way, I do. I associate with people that do that. For my business partner, John, I go to the same freaking restaurant every night of the week. He's always dragging me to other places, to other things. And I do that because I am seeking the other thing. But the beauty of it is I have found some comfort there because John does all the planning and all I have to do is show up. Yay!
God, there's been so many like killer truth bombs here. And I know that you've already said yes. So we are going to make that happen. Like, we need to have you come back on the show so we can really talk, pick up. And this will have like maybe part two and part three, because I think you and I can talk about this whole, you know, I'm calling it a corporate wellness series, but we want to talk about, you know, the BS excuses people make when they think, you know, you can't get fit after a certain age, you can't get fit because you work all these crazy hours. And I want to do a deep dive. We've hit our time wall today, so I want to wrap up. But I guess to close, I think you were making such a great point that, number one, that there's no one fit for everybody. You know, what works for Ted, it might not work for me as far as eating or working out, but also just what's important in life. No one can define what is important in life, and no one can define joy or happiness for any of us other than ourselves. And for me, I had such a cathartic year, and it's continued into this year. But, you know, I had those moments where I got to the end of 5 or 6 years of running a successful startup. And the truth is, I opened my eyes in December and I'm like, what's my personal ROI? And I was like, I am zero fulfillment. And if that's really what you have, and it doesn't matter how much money you're making, who you're dating, how many cars you own, whatever, if you are not fulfilled, that's a word that Tony Robbins uses, and I love it. It's so deep. Then you gotta look at your life again and find out what you want to do, what will make your life fulfilling. And so that's a much bigger conversation than just health and wellness, but it makes an impact. So that's some of the stuff that we'll explore when I have you back on. But Ted, it is so fun to talk to you for myriad reasons. everything. I could just go on and on and on. I'm excited to have you back. Let's wrap up for everybody. We'll definitely have Ted back on the show. But Ted, where can people find you online if they want to do some digging and find out more about this man of mystery?
Well, first of all, I want to make it very clear that I dig Kelly Alexa. I know I'm showing my age with that expression, but I dig you, so they can probably find me stalking you in the future. Just saying. That would be one place, but I am incredibly easy to find. If you Google Ted Rubin, I'm about the first 10 pages. I'm everybody but the 98-year-old Medal of Award winner from World War II. That's not me. I'm at Ted Rubin on Twitter. I'm at Ted Rubin on Instagram. I'm Ted Rubin on LinkedIn and Facebook. My email address is tedrubin@gmail.com, and my phone number is 516-270-5511. I'm happy to give it out like this because nobody calls because you guys are all freaking afraid of the phone, but I actually answer my phone. So feel free to reach out anytime.
I just want to know how many women call you after the show. You have to let me know.
I will let you know.
That was awesome.
And next time we talk, I'll tell you about one time when it really did get out of hand.
I can only imagine based on some of the DMs I get on Instagram lately, but I digress. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. I'm definitely having Ted Rubin back on the show, and I will honor my commitment, and he and I will do a Facebook Live, if not more, when we're together in Florida. And we will see everybody next time on the Ted and Kelly Show, to be continued.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.